Welcome to episode 106 of Teacher Tech Talk. I'm your host, Tom Varnum, the Digital Learning Specialist for the Tyngsborough Public Schools in Tyngsborough, Massachusetts. One of the latest trends in educational technology is flipping your classroom. Traditional classrooms feature a teacher providing content during class time, like a lecture, and assigning homework to practice new skills or demonstrate the understanding of those skills. In a flipped classroom, the teacher provides the content or lesson for students to review at home and then uses class time to work with students individually or in small groups as they practice or demonstrate their understanding. In the English language arts classroom, teachers have been doing this for years by assigning a reading for homework, then discussing or reviewing it in class the next day. With the interactive whiteboards and video recording apps, now science and math teachers can record a lesson, have students review it at home, and work with students in class on their skills. On this episode, we'll talk to a high school math teacher who has begun doing this in her classroom. So our guest this week is Stacy Lecca, who is a math teacher at Tyngsborough High School. Welcome, Stacy.
Hi.
And let's start off. Why don't you tell us a little bit about your history in teaching, how long you've been teaching math, and things like that.
Well, I am a math teacher at Tyngsborough High School, and this is my, I think, my sixth year at Tyngsborough, and overall I've been teaching for about 7 or 8 years. I got into teaching. I was actually a math major in college, and I started doing some tutoring in college and kind of just fell into education from there.
So one of the reasons why I asked you to join me on this episode is that you have begun flipping your classroom, and I just wanted to find out what inspired you to begin that process.
So I first started making videos as a way to help my students not fall behind when they were absent. My first couple of years teaching, I noticed that students who were absent fell behind and tended to stay behind through a whole chapter. Around this time, I was taking classes for my grad program, and I took a few classes on technology and education. And in one of our classes, we had to make our own instructional video. I didn't really have any technology to make an instructional video, so I just used PowerPoint, which was really, really tedious. I ended up having to, do all the timings on the slides and then record the audio. So it took me probably 5 times longer than it normally would have.
Not worth it.
Yeah, so, but I did like the idea of making my own videos. So I decided I wanted to go further in that direction. So I asked Tyngsborough to lend me an iPad, which they did, and I started making my own videos. So I started making as many as I could for one particular class for Algebra 2, for Honors Algebra 2. And students started using the videos when they were absent, if they were sick, or they knew they would be absent ahead of time.
Great.
In fact, they even started asking me, hey, Ms. Lecca, do you have a video for that lesson? I know I'm going to be out, let's say, next Friday. So it was really cool that a student could be absent and then come back to school without having missed a beat.
I remember, slightly off topic, but when I was in the classroom, this was probably 6-7 years ago, I had a student who was out, and it was we were discussing Hamlet, and his friend had his computer in class and said, hey, can so-and-so Skype into the class today?
Yeah.
And I was like, yeah, sure, I guess so.
Yeah.
So there he was. We put him on the computer, and he was looking at me the whole time, and he contributed to the conversation, and that was a pretty pretty cool thing. And I actually went to the administration and said, hey, do I have to mark him absent if he was technically, you know?
Oh, interesting.
And they're like, yeah, you still got to mark him absent. But it's amazing what technology can do, especially for kids who, for whatever reason, miss class.
Yeah, so then I started flipping from there. It just seemed it was the obvious next step.
Yeah.
I started taking more classes, and I said, well, I have this collection of videos. I could start using them as I start to complete chapters. I could use them to start flipping the classroom.
That's great. So we talked about one of the advantages, obviously, of flipping the classroom. Any other advantages or disadvantages to flipping your classroom?
Sure. There are tons on both sides. Biggest advantage, I think, is more face time with students. You really get to check in with students and really see if they're understanding stuff. Also, you just get to build more relationships with students because you obviously get to talk to them more. I think it causes students to be more engaged. One of my classes this year, I love them, but they're very, very quiet group. They're bright, but they don't like to participate a lot. They don't like to speak out. If you call on them in class, they'll know an answer. I've
had those classes.
So. Oh, yeah. So I actually flipped a short unit with them already this year, and it was like night and day. They were so much more engaged. They asked more questions. It was just a way more animated classroom, which was great to see. The other thing is that students get more help in class, so they don't spend an hour practicing something wrong. So it doesn't, you know, they're not having that reinforcement of practicing something wrong. When they make a mistake, you catch it pretty much right away.
Practicing smarter, not harder.
Exactly. And then also, I like that the classroom can be more student-centered.
Mm-hmm. Disadvantages, things that, struggles you've had with implementing it?
It's a lot more time up front.
Yeah.
It's not only just creating the videos, but I send students home with the blank shell notes, so I have to have those ready the day before. Mm-hmm. And then when they come in, I have to have practice activities. Now, I try not to always just have worksheets. I try to vary the activities, which does take a lot of time. Also, if I change a lesson, I feel pressure to change the video.
Yeah.
So, and as we know, that's also very time consuming. It's also just a shift in thinking. As a teacher, we're often used to just being at the head of the class, usually very teacher-centered.
Sage on the stage.
Exactly, that's the expression. So in a flipped classroom, the teacher's role is very different. So you're really more of a facilitator, and I really have had to remind myself to sort of step back and not over-teach and kind of let them work on their own.
I think in general, for implementing technology in the classroom, in any type of classroom, I think that's one of the big obstacles that teachers face is we're supposed to be the experts. We're supposed to be the people who are providing the content and the knowledge. Mm-hmm. And with the technology and the way it works now, if the students can actually figure things out for themselves, it's a lot more effective, but it's a hard habit to break.
It's so hard, and it takes more time.
Yeah.
It takes, you know, if you're trying to teach a traditional lesson in a classroom and have students sort of discover things on their own, it's really tough to find time to do all of that.
Have you been able to, now when did you start flipping your lessons? Did you start last year, 2 years ago?
I want to say I started experimenting with it maybe 2 or even 3 years ago, I think, for the first time.
So have you been able to use the original lessons that you made over and over again, just run those same videos, or do you change the videos every year?
Sometimes. Sometimes I can reuse, and then sometimes if I end up changing up a lesson, if I just need to make some changes, then I will just re-record the video.
Okay.
Then another thing is, I think when you talk about the flipped classroom with other teachers who have never done it before, I think the first question that teachers have is, well, what about students who don't watch the videos? Right? That's the big thing. For situations like that, now I've been fortunate. I've had the class that I've done this for has been an honors algebra class, and for the most part those students are pretty self-motivated and they typically watch the video. There have been situations that a student would come in and hasn't watched the video. Sometimes they admit it to you, sometimes they don't, but you can usually tell right away when they haven't watched the video. It honestly hasn't happened as often as I thought it would. I think once it happens to a student that first time, they come in and they see that everyone around them knows what they're doing, and they're lost. And they feel that peer pressure. They don't like being the person that doesn't know what's going on. I think they quickly learn that they need to come to class prepared.
So when you record these videos, you use Show Me, which is the app on the iPad. How did you come to use that as your main way to produce your lessons?
So about 3 or 4 years ago when I started doing this, I really think I just Googled how to make these videos. And then at the time, there wasn't a lot. I think Chromebooks weren't really as big at the time.
Yeah, it's come in the last 2 or 3 years as far as using them in the classroom.
So iPad stuff seemed to be really the direction it was taking at the time. So that was the one that I liked best. It was easy to use. So I can take screenshots of the slides that I used to teach with in class, and I import them into Show Me, and I use just like a stylus pen to fill in the notes while I record the audio. So if you've ever seen Khan Academy videos, it kind of is like that, but with a white background. And then there's, I put those videos up on Google Classroom. So you can either put like the link up on Google Classroom, or you can even, you have the option of downloading and saving your videos. In that case, you could probably put them up. I haven't done this really, but put them on YouTube or Edpuzzle, and even Edpuzzle is a site that I haven't used yet, but I know it's good for flipping. The only downside is that Show Me is not free.
What good thing is?
I know. So I'm exploring possible whiteboard apps on Chromebook.
Yep, we've talked about that, you and I. And yeah, Edpuzzle would be a really interesting way to add to the Show Me videos. You could actually stop the video, and then they could try to answer a problem, and then they could go on or they could go back. So it might be something else to look into.
Yeah, I played around with it a little bit in a class, and they you can put questions in, like comprehension questions. You can put math questions. Or if, I mean, if you didn't want to change a video from year to year, which we've talked about already, you could... I believe there's a way to just kind of put a note in there saying way you could do this is, and just kind of put a little note.
Yeah, you can put a text note in. You can also put an audio note. You can actually stop the video and record your voice over a still frame and then continue on with the video.
Yeah, it's great.
So we you talked about a little bit. What has been the feedback from your students for the flip lessons?
So I give students a survey after we finish a flipped unit, and most students really like it. There's usually one or two who don't like it. Of course, that's understandable. It's pretty different from what they're used to. It's a very, very different format.
And you said that before. It's a change of mindset for the teachers. It's a change of mindset for the students.
Absolutely. I mean, students are used to having a lesson in class and understanding it in class and then going home and sort of struggling through homework. So we're really switching that up in a flipped classroom. So they are feeling like they understand the lesson more at home when they're going through it and taking notes. And then they come into class, and that's the time where they're supposed to come in and struggle.
Yep.
So sometimes when they're in class, they feel like they're not actually learning as much, but that's just because they're doing the struggling in class as opposed to home. But it says, well, students, so they say in the survey that they like being able to work together. They like, we do a lot of group work. They like being able to ask more questions, get help from me. They really like not having to spend as much time on homework. You know, if I give them a homework assignment, a normal homework assignment, it might take them an hour.
Right.
Whereas a video might only be 10 to 20 minutes. What else? They said they like knowing what's going on sort of before they come in. They feel more confident coming into class. And a big thing that a lot of students said is they really like being able to pause the video, rewind the video, or even some students said they skipped ahead.
Yep.
You know, if they know how to solve a problem.
It's great for differentiating instruction if you've got some kids who need a little extra review, need to go over three or four times, and then you get kids like, yeah, I got it, let's move on.
Absolutely. Yeah. In terms of the negatives, I will say, and there weren't many things that students said they would change, but a couple of students said that the videos were a little too long at times. I think the longest video was 20 minutes. Usually they're about, like I said, 10 to 20. But I say to students, a 20-minute video is going to be an hour-long lesson in class.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
So.
That's good.
Yeah.
So we've talked about other aspects of using technology in math class. What are some of the challenges you found implementing using technology in the classroom into math class?
I find that there is just so much out there. I have a hard time just sifting through it all. Once I find a resource that I really like, I think it's not too hard for me to figure out how to implement it. But I just find I get overwhelmed. I mean, there's apps, there's websites, there's Chromebooks now, there's Chromebook, there's Chrome extensions. I feel like there's a lot. I don't really feel like there's a lot of pressure to use technology all the time. I feel like if I can use technology to enhance a lesson, I will, but I'm just not going to use technology just to use it. If I can identify a problem in a way that technology can be used to solve that problem, I'm all for it.
It's a great philosophy.
But I've talked to teachers in my grad program who said that they went totally paperless. And that just blew my mind, especially in a math classroom.
Even a math class.
They were math teachers.
Wow.
And I don't quite see my classroom ever going to that level of technology. I think there's something we said for students having a piece of paper and just trying things and scribbling and erasing.
That's the thing I think that you and I have talked about in the past that I think is the big hurdle for math instruction is the writing of equations. Mm-hmm. And there's all sorts of apps and LaTeX language or LaTeX language, I don't know how to pronounce it,
yep.
things like that. But there's nothing really intuitive for the students to, unless they have a touchscreen tablet where they can write out the equations.
Yeah.
So I think that's, to me, that's the next hurdle that needs to be cleared. And if that happens, then maybe I could see paperless in math class, but I'll settle for paperless in English class.
Well, I also think it's interesting, especially in math, like how much do we need our students to memorize? I mean, my first couple of years of teaching, I always made students memorize formulas. Now I'm starting to wonder, do I really need them to know all of those formulas? Or is it, you know, I have a friend who's an engineer and he just looks up yep. something if he needs it. I just heard something on NPR the other day where, or maybe it was a thing on Twitter where there was a mom who took a video of her third grader, I think, or second grader, who was doing a math problem, and he just asked Alexa. He said, Alexa, what's 5 minus 3? And Alexa answers 2, and the mom kind of makes fun of him and says, no, you're supposed to be doing that on your own. So different people, I think, have different opinions about that.
Yeah, that's one of the challenges for any discipline, any teacher, is you almost now are forced to make Google-proof assignments mm-hmm. and yeah. Google-proof assessments. Because there is, you know, they have more information in their pockets than, you know, I'm a little bit older than you, maybe more than a little bit, than we ever had. Mm-hmm. You know, we had to memorize because we didn't have a phone in our pocket. We could just say, hey Google, what's the distance from the Earth to the Sun? Now we don't have to memorize that. So that's mm-hmm. a big challenge for all teachers is how do we Google-proof our assignments?
Mm-hmm.
And there's ways to do it, but it's, again, it's kind of a shift in mindset.
It is.
All right, so I have one final question for you. Where do you see this going in your classroom? What's next for your plan as far as flipping your classroom, any new technologies, any new ideas to, you know, make your classroom more adaptable to the students?
Mm-hmm. Well, one thing I'd like to continue to do is probably flip only a few units throughout the year. I don't think I would do it for every single chapter. I like the flipped classroom as sort of a change of pace, as a way to kind of switch things up. And like I said, not every student is in love with the flipped classroom,
right.
So I think it's a nice way to differentiate at times and then kind of go back to a more traditional way at other times. We've talked about Edpuzzle. I am interested in trying to incorporate that. And there was another thing that I was trying to think of that I can't remember. Oh, just more activities. It's so much prep work up front.
Yeah.
And I want to continue to add more activities and not just worksheets. But it's so hard because when you flip the classroom, now your practice time in class is so valuable.
Right.
Because they only have that 68 minutes to practice. So you really have to maximize the class time as much as possible. So I'm just going to continue to work on ways to totally maximize that time in class.
Great. Thank you very much for joining us.
Thanks,
and
Tom.
I look forward to talking to you later on, perhaps, and maybe tell us about how Edpuzzle has gone or how mm-hmm. those activities have gone.
Sure. Thanks so much. It's been fun.
That's all for this week's episode. I'd like to thank my guest, Stacy Lecca, for joining us and sharing her experiences with flipping her classroom.
If you want to leave us a voice message, you can do so from the Anchor app on your phone by clicking the message button. If you'd like to suggest a future topic or a future guest for Teacher Tech Talk, you can leave a voice message or send me an email. For my email address, check out the show notes page on my website, pages.tingsboropS.org/Varnum. Please join us next time when we will talk with Jason Lewis, a teacher at Tingsboro Middle School, about using Skype and Google Hangouts. I hope you can join us. Remember, don't be afraid to try something new in the classroom. Catch you next time.